Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Be plugged into God is to be plugged in restoration power. Holy Ghost reviving power. It really is. To be plugged into Him is to be plugged into restoring, rejuvenating, regenerating power. Right? Because we saw that over in the book of Titus, how the Holy Spirit of God who is in us is working a work of regeneration and renewing from the inside out. Regeneration and renewing. The regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So now that we're plugged into Him, it's no longer deterioration. It's not things breaking down, falling apart. It's things being built up, things being renewed, things being strengthened. In fact, He said over in Isaiah 58 that if we're being led by the Lord, if He's the one that's guiding us, He is also restoring us and strengthening our bones. I like that. Amen. How many people know a spirit doesn't have bones? So the Bible makes it clear that God's interested in your body. He's interested in your body. He's strengthening your physical body while at the same time He's restoring you and watering you. He says you shall be like a well-watered garden. And He's just refreshing us so that we can just grow stronger and stronger and ripen as we go. We're to ripen, not rot. We're not rotting, we're ripening as we get older. So as we're getting older, we're not aging in that we're deteriorating and rotting. We're being renewed. We're being restored. We're getting better and better. We're getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. That's why He said over in Job 5:26, "You shall come to your grave in a ripe old age," at a ripe old age. Everybody say ripe. At a ripe old age, not at a rotten old age. You don't get old and rotten, you just keep ripening. As a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. That's how you're going to come to the grave, man. Full of life, full of strength. Job 33:25 says, "His flesh will be healthier than in youth." Your flesh will be healthier than in your youth. And this is something that if you are a youth, you need to take hold of this now. Start thinking on these things now. Start getting a vision for these things now. A vision for long, healthy life. It's never too early to get yourself built up in these truths. And it's never too late, too. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He'll speed things up for us. He'll strengthen us in our faith and speed up the renewing, regenerating process in our life, in our bodies. And there's all kinds of promises we looked at throughout Proverbs. A couple here, Proverbs 3:1. He says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, because length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Length of days and long life. Everybody say length of days and long life. God's commandments will add to me. Come on, somebody. You don't have to sit there and walk around the health food stores and try to figure out, you know, what can you eat that's going to help your health? I got it right here. Manja. Eat. Eat. Eat the word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Even gluten-free bread. Man doesn't live by that alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Give us our daily bread. Hallelujah. It's gluten free. It's ungodliness free. It's doubt free. It's devil free. Amen. It'll make you free in every area of your life. Get a hold of His command. He promises over and over and over. It's going to add days, years to your life. God's not a liar. He's not an exaggerator. What He says is the way it is. We just got to believe it and lay hold of it. Proverbs 4:10, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Many. Many, it's a guarantee. Many years, long life, long life. And last time we were together, we looked at, you know, we asked the question, how long is long? And we saw over in Psalm 90 that it, you know, it seemed like, according to Psalm 90, that the days of our life will be somewhere around 70 and 80 years of age. But then as we look closer, we understood that in its context, he was talking about the children of Israel who died because of their rebellion in the wilderness. And he was talking about them dying somewhere around 70, 80 years of age. So that really is not the best. That's the result of a cursed life according to Psalm 90. Now, there's people that die at 70, 80 years of age. And some folks, you know, that it's not because of a cursed life. It's because, you know, that's all they had a vision for. But God wants to lift our vision higher. Because he wants us here longer. Why? Because he wants us to affect the world. He wants us to affect future generations. And the older you get in God, with walking in him, the wiser you become and the more of a help you can become to humanity. So the devil would love to knock you out as a man, woman of God at 70, 80 years of age. Say, now look, you're old, you're aged, you know, you're deteriorating. You need to just go ahead and get ready to die. And what we need to be saying, no, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting started. That's when Moses entered the ministry. At 80 years of age, that's when he actually entered into the ministry God had called him to. And he went on to live 100, to be 120, which was the number that the Lord had given us. Not that you can't exceed 120, but that was the number that he gave us over in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. He said, man's life will be 120 years. And of course, he first told that to Moses, because Moses is the one that wrote the book of Genesis. And so Moses believed what the Lord said, and he lived to be 120 years of age. And he did not die because of being aged or because his body had deteriorated. He climbed Mount Sinai, and the Lord buried him. And he just stepped out of his body. His body was buried, and he just went on full of health, full of strength. His eyes were not dim, the Bible says. His vigor and vitality had not diminished. And that is God's promise, not just for Moses, that's God's promise for all of us. And I just love this. I mean, we need to have a vision for this. We need to renew our mind because the world all around us is telling us, you know, yeah, about 70, 80, you know, if you're lucky. You know, that's an old life. You know, if you live to be 70, 80s, you've lived to be an old person. And we got to renew our mind so that we don't have that ceiling over us, those limitations set over us. We need to get it in us. Now I'm getting stronger. I'm getting healthier. Man, and I'll tell you what, I've been speaking this every day. I get up. I'm just so fired up about this, and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the effects of believing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, taking the Word of God to heart. It's the truth. It's reality. Let it be that reality in your life. And so, you know, the world, for the most part, under the control of the powers of darkness, you know, is just full of deception. And there's all kinds of fake information out there. And there's things that are misleading. And like I said, if you don't look into it, most people would just think, wow, to live to be 100, that's a really rare thing. You know, maybe two or three people, 100 years old, somewhere in the world today. You know, eight people maybe, something like that. And then I said last week, it was about 50,000 people. About 50,000 people that are 100 years or older just in the United States alone. That was the statistic I gave last week, but I'm sorry, I have to admit to you, I was wrong with that information. I went back and looked. That was old information. I was running off of old information from, that was back in 2000. But I've updated the information. I looked and I come to find out it's actually not 50,000. It's actually over 72,000 people that are 100 years or older in the United States. Over 72,000. 1,000. Not just 72. 72,000. No, not 7,200. That'd be pretty good too. 72,000. Yeah. And how many of them have actually sat down and heard this word? How many of that age because they heard the word of God? How many of that age because they obeyed the commandments of God and had faith to live that long? I don't know. But I know you and I are being taught this word. And if people, some who are totally heathens, can live to be a long age like that, how much more? I said, how much more? Those who actually hear the word, believe the word, put their faith in God's word concerning these things. And then I looked, I said, well, where else? I looked, Japan. In Japan, there are over 68,000 people over 100 years of age. 100 years or older in Japan. Think about that. In little Japan, it's like the size of California. So you got 72,000, over 72,000 people in America. You got 68,000 in Japan. And they try to figure it out. How do these people live so long? And they look and they say, is it the green tea? Is it the tofu? You know, what is it? But they're living long in Japan. Praise God. So I says, well, we need to all go to Japan. Breathe that air in. Bless God. I'm telling you, we're in Christ Jesus. Let's breathe his air in. Let's breathe in the air of the Holy Spirit. And he's right here with us right now. So out of those 68,000 people, there was someone that was born in 1900 and is 118 years old. 118 years old. Died at 118 years old. Another one was born in 1901 at 117 years of age and some days, some change. There's three folks, 116 years old. There's one lady, she's almost 110 years old. She's walking around, she's doing, I was watching a little video of her. She gets around, she's still working on her farm and eating lots of tofu and drinking green tea and just a very pleasant, sat down, had a nice interview. Very, very sweet lady. You know, she's not totally decrepit and falling apart. Five people, 114 years old. Nine people, 113 years old. Another person, 112 years old, and so forth and so on. There's a lady in Russia who said she lived a very, very hard and unhappy life. She's seen a lot of things over in Russia, the Soviet Union. 128 years old. 128 years old. And then USA Today said that there was a man in Indonesia that died in April of last year, 2017, at 146 years of age. Indonesia, praise God. What are they eating in Indonesia? And then there's Jean Calment in France, born in February 21st, 1875. Lived to be 122. Died in August of 1997. Sarah Knuss. Born in the USA, September 24th, 1880. Died at 119 on December 30th, 1999. People are living long, folks. People are living long. And in fact, I was talking about that the year 2000 statistic, the 50,000 people, and now here in 2018, it's up to over 72,000 in the USA. They say that that is a 44% increase since 2000. They said if we keep going at this current rate, there could be close to 1 million people that are 100 years or older by 2050 in the US. Think about that. Over 1 million. Yeah. Well, we're going to add to that, aren't we? Praise the Lord. How many people want to stick around? Yeah, let's stick around. See, he says over in Psalm 91, he says, with long life I will, this is the Lord speaking, he says, with long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. The one that sets his affections, his love on the Lord, the Lord says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, which is his deliverance from every evil thing. Evil things might come against us, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. No matter what comes against us, he promises us to give us the victory. So he says, with long life, I'll satisfy him. So we want to stick around until we're satisfied. And we shouldn't be satisfied until we're sure that we have fulfilled what the Lord would have us to do. And like I said, some people, their vision's just a little bit too small. So they get satisfied a little too early. We need to expand our vision and say, man, there's more to do. Or at least ask the Lord, Lord, is there more for me to do? What would you have me to do? We don't want to get to the place where it's like, well, you know, I'm done. What more can I do? I mean, can you hear what I hear? Can you taste food like I can't taste food? You know, those were the words of a man by the name of Brazilii. And he just, you know, at 80 years of age, he was ready for the grave. He was done. He was an aged man, the Bible said. And it was obvious why he was an aged man, because he talked himself into being aged. He expected to deteriorate. He expected at 80 years of age to not be able to get around very well, to not be able to think for himself very well, to not be able to do very much. He saw himself, 80 years of age, just being a burden to people. And yet, there was another man by the name of Caleb. And Caleb, he was 85 years of age. And man, he talked just the opposite. He talked big because he believed God that he had to at least 120. So he didn't talk like someone that was aged. He talked about taking more mountains, taking more territory for the kingdom of God. Taking more land, driving out the enemy, going to war, going into battle, not just sending other people into battle, not just sending drones over into the Philistine camp, but to go in there himself and to drive out these demon-possessed people and take the land for himself. I mean, he was a warrior. He was a fighter at 85 years of age. We need to have the Caleb mentality, not the Brazilian mentality. It is a mentality. Even more so than what you eat. Even more so than how your life goes. It's your mentality that's going to determine in many cases how long you live. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How do you think concerning your life? How do you think about yourself? We need to expand our vision. We need to think bigger. Think more in line with God's word and then talk that way. Talk that way. Talk a big talk because you got a big God that wants to do big things in and through you. So we're not sitting here suffering from degeneration. We've got the spirit of regeneration and renewing, working on the inside, working his way out into the outside, into our physical heart, into our arteries, into our veins, into our bones, into every cell of our body, because we are plugged in to life. We are plugged into life. So even though in the world we might have tribulation, even though like that woman in Russia, 128 years old, life was hard for her. She said she had a very unhappy life, very unhappy life. She even had to bury her own little daughter at 90-something years of age. I mean, a tough life. And even though she had a hard life, things didn't go easy for her, she still lived long. Now, I believe the best is to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Because as we are in the peace mode, we are in the rest mode. And the rest mode is a restoration mode. Just like if you had some kind of electronic device, you plugged it in, you put it in that rest mode, you're not using it at the time, your drill or whatever, you plug the thing in, and it's recharging. It's recharging, it's getting rejuiced. Well, you and I need to be plugged in all the time. Even while we're working, we're resting. Because we're trusting in the living God, that he's going to bring to pass his perfect will through in our lives through us. He's going to bring it all to pass. So we're not anxious. We're not worried. We're not stressed out. We know the kind of damage stress can do to a person physically. So we don't want to live stressful lives, fearful lives, burdened down lives. We want to live peaceful lives. Peaceful lives. That's God's will. He says over in the book of Timothy, he says, pray for those in authority in your country. Pray for your president. Pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. He wants your life peaceful, a godly life. And a government can make that hard on us. Anarchy, chaos, and confusion in the streets can make that difficult. Now, no matter what's going on, we need to have faith in God. But it sure is a whole lot easier to walk in peace and godliness when the world, when your nation is being filled with godliness and peace, when society isn't fighting you so hard. I mean, we're always going to have the devil to have to resist. But man, it's nice to have to resist government. Not have to resist anarchy in our society. Lawlessness. And the devil, he's behind lawlessness. The Bible talks about in the last days, someone being raised up called the lawless one, who is also the Antichrist. And even now, there are many Antichrists in the world. And there are a lot of people that have that spirit of lawlessness upon their life. So that's why it's important to pray. Pray and believe God and release your faith. Don't just say, oh God, oh God, oh God. I pray, oh God, help somebody do something for us in this country. No, that's not faith. Pray and believe and then walk through your day trusting and knowing God's hand is upon this land. God is blessing us. He's working with our leaders. He's moving leaders in. He's moving leaders out so that we can live a godly, peaceable, quiet, good life. Can you say amen? So peace is a big part of our being able to live long and strong in the earth. And God has given us a covenant of peace. Oh, I believe you're going to like this. Over in Numbers chapter 25, let's talk about our covenant of peace and how it affects long life. Numbers 25. Now again, in its context, this is during the time of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. This is in the days of Caleb. This is in the days when people were dying at 70, 80 years of age, except for Caleb, except for Joshua. Joshua lived, I believe, to be 110 years of age. So that's what's going on here in its context. And then there was this man by the name of Phinehas. And Phinehas was a priest. His grandfather was Aaron, the high priest. And there was all this rebellion going on in the Israeli camp out there in the wilderness. And Phinehas, he saw some really vulgar things taking place among the children of Israel. And God had just rebuked them, and this great plague broke out because of these vulgar things. And thousands of people died. And so Phinehas saw this, and man, he got righteously indignant, and he ran into the middle of that vulgar situation, and we'll just say he cleaned it up. He dealt with that situation. And then the Lord saw it and saw his zeal for the Lord, that he was zealous with the Lord's zeal. The Lord's zeal for holiness. The Lord's zeal for righteousness and godliness. And the Lord makes this statement. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses concerning Phinehas the priest. He says, therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. So God has a covenant of peace. I give to him my covenant, which is an unbreakable contract. A covenant is an unbreakable contract. And he says, I give to him this unbreakable contract of peace. Verse 13, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. How many people are zealous for God? Yeah, we need to increase in our zeal for the Lord and intercede for our brothers and sisters. Intercede for the lost. Believe God that they would be atoned for, that they'd be washed in the blood of Jesus, that they'd come into the saving knowledge of the Lord. The Lord saw this, says, I'm making this covenant of peace with him. I'm giving him this covenant of peace. And it's an everlasting priesthood. It's for him and all his descendants after him. Everybody say everlasting priesthood. Yeah, that's a priesthood that does not end. But yet we know the Levitical priesthood, the priesthood that began with Aaron, has ended. But yet there is another priesthood. And that priesthood was a type of the priesthood that still exists today. It's an everlasting priesthood, and the high priest of that priesthood is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus is our high priest. And we, as believers, are the priests under the high priest. You and I are a part of this everlasting priesthood. We are descendants of Phinehas through faith. Our faith makes us spiritual descendants of Phinehas. And so we are priests. The Bible tells us we're kings and priests. Kings and priests. But notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. Talking to you, talking to the church. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo, hallelujah. We are priests of praise. We are to come and bring not all kinds of animals and spill blood all over the place. No, Jesus' blood took care of all that. But we are to come and bring the sacrifice of praise unto our God. A lot of folks think, you know, the sacrifice of praise is, well, that means it's a burden. It's a hard thing to do. You know, it's a sacrifice. It's all, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being a priest, being a part of a priesthood. And that's the sacrifice we bring. Doesn't mean it's hard. It's not a difficult thing to praise God. No, it's not a difficult thing to praise God if you got the Lord's zeal. If you're zealous with his zeal. If you love the Lord. Then praising God isn't difficult. Praising God is only difficult if you're backslidden. It's only if you're more in the flesh than you are in the spirit. Then praising God is difficult. But no, we're in the spirit. We're not in the flesh. Right? And we're keeping our focus on him. And so praise isn't a burden thing, but it is the sacrifice that we bring as priests. We are a part of an everlasting priesthood. And notice what the Lord promised to those who are a part of this everlasting priesthood. He says, I give to them my covenant of peace. My covenant, my unbreakable contract of peace. That's what I give to them. So this covenant of peace that was for Phinehas is ours today. And you need to know this belongs to you. You need to know that you have this covenant of, you got this guarantee from God of peace. And by faith, you need to reach out and receive that covenant of peace into every area of your life. I mean, it's so powerful. Jesus told his disciples, he said, when you enter a house, he said, first, he says, say peace to this house. Ooh. And he says, if the Son of Peace is there, if the people there are receptive to you, then your peace will come upon that place and remain there. Wow. We can leave peace in the places where we go. That's what you and I are carrying around. We got this powerful peace of God. Well, what? Let's look at this word peace. When he talks about this covenant of peace, when we look at this word peace in the original Hebrew language, it's the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. And it means this: completeness, soundness, contentment, tranquility, prosperity, safety, health, wellness, happiness. Shalom. Oh, glory be to God. We're talking about the shalom of God here. God's peace is prosperity. It's health. It's soundness. It's wellness. It's completeness. It's happiness. So when we say peace to this house, we're releasing health, prosperity, safety from all kinds of demonic things. Don't you want to walk in this? Oh man, according to our faith. I mean, today, hearing this word, our faith can come up so high. So high. Our faith can just come up so high that we see this thing, this peace of God just manifesting in our life in such a way that it's almost tangible. You just see it go forth and affect things around you. I mean, turmoil's getting riled up and then you walk on the scene. Peace. Peace. Safety. Healing. Prosperity. Soundness. Wellness. Man, this is our covenant. We have this. We have this with us. You know, we were at the lake this past weekend with the men on this men's retreat. I was coming in on the boat and there was a dock, and then there were so many vultures. I mean, vultures were all over the dock. They were all over the railing and everything else where you walk out onto this dock. And so I was coming in to pick somebody up. Who was it coming in? It was Brandon. So Brandon, we had signaled him, said, we're going to pick you up, you know, so meet us over by the dock. And man, the place was just filled with vultures. And it was such an awesome picture of a spiritual reality. As he walked onto the dock and began to walk into the midst of the vultures went everywhere. They all took flight and they ran up into their dead trees. They only look for dead things. Isn't that amazing? But those vultures are a type of demons. Spirits of death. Spirits of decay. They like dead things. They like decaying things. They like rotting things and corroding things. And so they're just like demons. And here comes the man of God into the middle of all of them. And what are they? You think they stood around? Woo, no, shikalabakasa. They took off, man. They scattered in every direction. I said, that's what it's like when we walk in the room. Right? That's what it's like when we show up. When we come into a place, they scatter. You walk into that restaurant. Get that picture. Get that picture. Death flees from you. Things that would try to harm and destroy flee from you. Because you have a covenant. An unbreakable guarantee with God of safety, peace, prosperity, so that you know, and they know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. Victory. Shall victory. All I see is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, that's all a part of shalom. Shalom, tranquility, contentment, prosperity, safety, health. Over in Genesis 15, verse 15, he says, now as for you, You shall go to your fathers in peace. Now his fathers are dead. So he's talking about going to the grave. He's talking about dying. But he's not just going to the grave that your physical body gets buried, but you're going to go to your fathers. He says, you shall go to your fathers in shalom. You shall be buried at a good old age. Notice shalom connected to a good, everybody say good, old age. Oh, hallelujah. So what's he saying here? He's saying, you shall go to your fathers in health. You're not leaving here sickly. You're not going to leave your body and go to your fathers sickly. Or because of some kind of tragedy, you're going to go safely. You're going to leave here in safety and in health. Over in Psalm chapter 35, verse 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually. That's important. What are you saying continually? See, it's not just enough to say the right things in a church service when we're all stirred up. It's what you're saying continually that you're going to have in life. Because Jesus said you'll have what you say. So what are you saying continually? See, this has to become a continual thing. And notice, he says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. You got to be a good shouter. Do you favor his righteous cause? Are you glad you're a child of God? Then you got to learn to shout. You got to know how to shout. Got to give out that victory shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now that's for those fanatical believers. Well, what are you then? Because there's only one kind of believer. That's a believer that's zealous with the Lord's zeal. A passionate believer. A hot believer. No lukewarm believers in God's mind. Just hot, hot, hot believers. On fire for God. Zealous with his zeal. Passionate. Praise God. So we shout. Shikalabakasata. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That word prosperity is the Hebrew word shalom. So here it's translated prosperity because it can be. Because that's what it means. He says, shout for joy and say this continually. The Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the shalom of his servant. In the prosperity, in the health, in the wellness of his servant. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you just serving your belly? See, we're not just to be serving our belly. We're to be serving the Lord. And as a servant of the Lord, praise God, I say continually, ooh, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in my prosperity, who takes pleasure in me being healthy, who takes pleasure in my wellness, who takes pleasure in my being strong. See, it's not just about us, you know, taking pleasure in being happy and strong. The Lord takes pleasure in your happiness. The Lord takes pleasure in you being healthy. But it displeases him when you're all broken down, unhealthy. Walking a defeated life. That's not the will of God. Not for a single hour of your life. Not for an hour of your life. We're not going to submit ourselves for even an hour to any kind of oppressive demon. Any kind of oppressive thing. Because we know the truth. Shake it off. Walk in there and shout. Shout. Shout out the doubt. Shout out the devils. Glory to God. Shake them off. Put them to flight. Make them flee into their dead tree. My house is not going to be a dead tree for vultures to land in. Vultures will gather in dead things, man. Don't let your house be full of deadness. Deadness. Death. Darkness. Dingy. No, that's being dumb. Don't do that. Keep the life of God in there. Keep the lights on. Hallelujah. Psalm 73. Verse 3. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Well, he got that turned around, thank God. But notice, there's that word prosperity. It's the same Hebrew word, shalom. He thought, why do they have shalom? Why are they living long? Man, the people I know and care about and are close to me, here they are dying at whatever age, and these wicked people are living into the hundreds, 100 plus. And he said, man, it bothered me. I was upset about it. But then he got his perspective turned around and got rid of the envy. Thank God. But notice, if a wicked person, if a person that isn't following the Lord can enjoy shalom, how much more those that have a covenant of shalom, have an unbreakable guarantee from God of shalom? How much more? It's ours. It's ours, and it's everlasting. It's for you and your descendants. Psalm 38, verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. So here he's been living in sin. He's had sin in his life, and he hasn't dealt with it. Now he's starting to deal with it. Thank God here. He's confessing it out. He's confessing his sin. Thank God 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. I said he's faithful. He's faithful to the covenant. God the Father is faithful to the covenant that he made with Jesus through the blood of Jesus to forgive us of all our sins. Because that's what the blood was for. That blood covenant between Jesus and the Father was for the forgiveness of our sins, for the cleansing of all unrighteousness. God the Father is faithful to that covenant. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we just confess it, if we just, you don't even have to necessarily say, Lord, forgive me. I mean, that's good. But he says, if you confess, I know it's admit it. I missed it. That was wrong. I missed it there. The Lord says, I will forgive you and cleanse you. But notice, if you hang on to it, there's another scripture where he says that, you know, he kept his mouth closed. He did not confess his sin. And as a result of that, his bones grew old. His bones began to age. His bones aged and deteriorated. But here he says, because of sin, there's no health in my bones. That word health is the same Hebrew word, shalom. There's no shalom in my bones. Shalom, I'm talking about the covenant of shalom. The covenant of peace. Peace is health. It's right here translated. And it affects your bones. This covenant of shalom affects your bones. In other words, your physical body. Not just your spirit. Not just your soul. Not just your mind. But your physical body as well. Sometimes you got to just look if you're feeling any kind of pain in your body, any kind of thing going on there. You need to just look at it and go, shalom. Health. Peace. Wellness. Safety. Shalom. You kind of sense some kind of evil presence lurking around. Shalom. Peace. Safety. Many of the Jewish people, before they entered a house, even their own house, they put their hand on the doorpost of their house, and they would just say, shalom. Speak peace into that house. And, you know, the Jewish people, you know, many of them are completely ignorant of their rights and privileges, their covenant rights and privileges. And yet, They still retain so much of the blessing of God, the blessing of Abraham upon their life. I mean, the whole world's trying to kill him. I mean, they're just surrounded by nations that want him dead, that want to kill him. And yet they just keep getting stronger and more powerful. And they've got nuclear weapons and they got all this strength. And it's incredible. It's incredible. You got all these big nations all around and they can't put him out. They can't kill him. And Israelites, they just keep getting smarter and smarter and smarter. And a lot of them are even ignorant of these things. But yet they still retain a lot of that shalom. They retain a lot of this peace and protection of God. So awesome. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Shalom means safety. So he says, I will lie down in shalom. And I'll be safe. Praise God forever. You know, I'm reminded of a story I heard someone tell. And he talks about back in World War II, over in Europe, you know, the Germans would come in and just start dropping bombs. And so those sirens would go off, those air raid sirens, and they would go down into all the people would come out of their homes and they would meet in these underground bunkers. And so, you know, the whole neighborhood, the sirens went off one night and the neighborhood people, you know, ran down into the bunker because of the bombs that were dropping. And about a week later, this gentleman sees his neighbor, this lady next door, and she's out sweeping up a lot of the rubbish and things. And he said, where have you been? We haven't seen you. When the sirens have gone off, we haven't seen you down there in the bunkers. She said, oh, I've been here. He said, I thought maybe you went off into the country or something. No, I've been right here. And he said, well, weren't you afraid of the bombs? Oh, she said, I was over in my Bible, and I read where it says, the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. So I just figured there'd be no reason for the two of us to stay awake all night, and I just went to bed. Hallelujah. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's watching out for you. Praise God, when you go to sleep at night, he's awake. He's on the watch. He's guarding your life. He's going to make sure no evil will befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. And with long life, he's going to satisfy you and show you his deliverance from every evil thing. Hallelujah. Shalom. Shout it with me. Shalom. Whew, that's powerful. That's like a cloud that just went up. It's a cloud of God's presence that went up with a shout. Just covers everything. Covers everything. Demons flee from it. They can't get in the cloud. I said they can't get in the cloud. The shalom cloud. Hallelujah. They can't break through it. It's an unbreakable promise. Unbreakable covenant. Unbreakable guarantee. Somebody say, I'm going to lie down in shalom. Praise God. I like that. I'm going to wrap myself up in shalom. I'm just going to rest in shalom. Shikalabasata. Sit by the fire on a rainy day. Just shalom it for the day. Praise God. What are you going to do today? I'm going to shalom it. I'm going to shalom it. Praise God. Woo, I'm just all nestled up in shalom. Well, he said you're going to lie down in shalom. Get all wrapped up in it. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Or with shalom. That's what he's going to do. He's going to give you strength. Notice that again. Giving you strength because he's blessing you with shalom. When you got shalom, you got strength. It's a blessing. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek, that's the humble, the meek shall inherit the earth, not just heaven. They shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. an abundance of shalom, an abundance of health, an abundance of prosperity, an abundance of protection, safety, an abundance of wealth, wellness, an abundance of tranquility. I mean, people take all kinds of medications to get this tranquility. But oh, hallelujah, it's all in shalom. So get in shalom and experience the tranquility. That's where tranquilizers come from. Right? A tranquilizer will make you tranquil. And I'm starting to feel it. A tranquilizer will make you tranquil. And you'll just lie down and say, I don't care about anything anymore. And not worry about a thing. You'll just be happy and you'll know it. Peace. Oh, I could go there right now. I could just go there right now. I could just say bye-bye. Just go into the realm of shalom. That's the realm of God. It's a good place to be. Will you come with me? Sure would be nice to see. That's what happens. You get to talking this stuff and you can't even get through all the scriptures. And you start getting happy and tranquil, restful, peaceful. So peaceful. Amen. Peace, baby. Peace, baby. I feel like getting a van and just painting it psychedelic. Put on the license plate, shalom. Go ahead and yield to it. You'll be glad you did. I like this next one. But anyway, that was the abundance of peace. Jesus came to give you life and that more abundance. See, it's an abundance of shalom, which includes health, strength, prosperity, energy, vigor, and yet rest, and peace, and tranquility. Here's one of my favorites, Psalm 37, verse 37. It says, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. Watch this guy. For the future of that man is shalom. What kind of future are you going to have? Mark the blameless man. Mark that blameless guy. Put him on. Watch this guy. Watch this guy. I can tell you exactly how it's going to turn out for him. I can tell you exactly how it's going to turn out for that guy. His future is it's prosperity, it's health, it's wellness, it's happiness. That's his future. Why? He's blameless. He's a good guy. He's a godly kind of guy. It's going to go good for him. Oh, isn't that good? Psalm 119, 165. I hope we make it through. Psalm 119, do not listen to this message again while driving your vehicle. Because if you get pulled over, he's going to say, get out and walk the line. And you're going to say, hey, shalom, shalom. It's shalom, it's shalom. Well, where is it? It's in this brown bag over here, shalom. Can't put this in a brown bag. All right. Psalm 119, 165. Great shalom have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Forget about falling. You're not even going to stumble. Nothing's going to cause you to stumble. Although I question that right now. But notice, great peace. Everybody say great peace. Great peace. Great shalom. Great shalom. Yeah. Great prosperity. Great health. Ooh, hallelujah. Great. We're not talking about a little bit. Great wellness. Until you're about 70 or 80. No, keep on going all the way to the grave. Let's go out of here in a blaze of shalom. Let's just go out of here full of shalom, man. It works at any age. Shalom works at any age. And you don't have to consult with your doctor either. And to find out, is it safe for you to use shalom? Yes, it is safe. Woo, give me shalom. Give me shalom. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. Now notice this there. Pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. And what's going to happen? For the people that pray for the shalom of Jerusalem because they love Jerusalem, he says, prosperity is going to be theirs. May they prosper who love you. Shalom be within your walls, prosperity. That's shalva, close to shalom. That word prosperity there is shalva, within your palaces. So shalom, again, brings prosperity. Prosperity, protection. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom. He's the Prince of Shalom. That's what Jesus is. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? He is the Prince of Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Prosperity. He's the Prince of Health and Wellness and Safety. And of the increase, which can also be translated abundance, the abundance of his government and shalom, there will be no end. An abundance of shalom, there will be no end for you and I, because we have submitted to his lordship. We are under his government. Praise God. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, or perfect shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's the key to it right there. Keep your mind on him, trust in him, say continually shalom. The shalom of God is in my life. Isaiah 32, verse 17, the work of righteousness will be peace, or shalom, or health, or prosperity. That's the work of righteousness, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in peaceful habitations. That's the word shalom. They shall dwell in a shalom habitation. We are in a shalom habitation. In secure dwellings. That means you're in a secure place. And in quiet resting places. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you just love it? Why don't we stand on our feet and just thank God for his shalom, his peace, his prosperity, his wellness, his tranquility. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.